Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, Grant. Welcome to Crypto Nights. We're just so excited to have you on our podcast. And thank you for joining us at 6 a.m. Korean time.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Why don't we start off by an introduction personally to yourself and to Carrie, and just if you can start explaining the background and the backstory, that'll be a good way to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning here in Korea. My name is Grant. I was actually born and raised in the United States in Seattle, and I grew up there. And about 6 years ago, I had a chance to go back to my mother country, the place where my parents came from, in Korea. And I started a business there with my friend Richard. And at that time, Groupon was in Korea and started this kind of boom of startups, kind of focusing on merchants. And just like in the US and other countries, like Groupon was growing so big, they were bringing a lot of first-time customers to these restaurants and cafes and these offline businesses. But the issue was that they're only first-time customers, and they only went for the discount but never came back. And so we saw a problem to solve. We wanted to work on loyalty for merchants. How can they collect and manage long-term customers? And so what we did was we created a loyalty solution for cafes and restaurants. Now we actually do cover retail shops as well, like places that actually sell stuff, like clothing or shoes, things like that. But what we do is really interesting. Instead of customers having to carry around stamp cards or plastic cards, we install iPads or like tablet terminals on the counters where people pay. And so all people need to do is bring their finger. They just need to put their phone number into the iPad and they collect points that way. And on the merchant side, this is great because they start collecting a bunch of really good data on their customers for the first time. If you like spread a bunch of stamp cards around, you really don't know like how many people have them and who these customers are. But we're trying to create like big data for small businesses. And, the goings were very tough, honestly. Like, we introduced this idea to the Korean market first. And so, you know, people were rejecting us. I was going door to door, you know, knocking on doors, you know, please, you know, give us a try. But eventually the market accepted our product. And now, currently, 10,000 merchants are using this across Korea. And 15 million users in Korea are putting their phone numbers in to collect points.
Those are phenomenal numbers, Grant. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know there was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and it took probably a few years to get there, but you did it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in the offline space, there's no such thing as like a J curve. It's just very linear, actually. You just keep meeting merchants, keep getting them on board.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. So how did, I mean, that's already a phenomenal business. I'm imagining that while you were doing that, you got the backstory probably includes how you got the aha moment for doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, definitely. So the idea of the blockchain, I remember the day last year, like early last year, when my developer team approached us and said, hey, why don't we put our backend on the blockchain and make things more trustless? And I was like, what's the blockchain? So I go into YouTube, I type in the word, what is blockchain? And that was the day my life changed. The more I realized and just looked at into the technology, the more I realized that this is like game changing. It's like a point of no return. And especially for our business, instead of being a distraction for our business, it's something that is very organic something that we think can actually help fulfill our mission better, of connecting merchants and customers. And so we looked really into the blockchain seriously last year and decided that, this is the right technology for us. We already have a user base, and I think that this will only enhance their experience. And I'd love to get into more specifics about how we think that the blockchain can help our ecosystem of merchants and customers.
That's fantastic. In fact, I want you to start off with that. What is the use case and what is the name of this new company? Is it Carry or Carry Protocol? What are you calling it?
Right. So to be honest, like, we are looking at blockchain completely from the perspective of our company. You know, how can we improve our company? What we decided was to create a separate entity, completely separate entity, called Carry Protocol. And the reason why it's called Carry is because we want this to be something that people carry around with them in the offline world and use every day. So it's called Carry Protocol. And Spoca, my company that I've built over 6 years, is just going to be the first partner to Carry Protocol. Our hope is to make this a global used protocol, so that people in Vietnam, people in Japan, people in India, people can all join this protocol and use it in different countries, not just in Korea. And the core is this for the Carry Protocol. We believe that offline transaction data is the most precious data in the world. You see companies like Alibaba, Tencent, Amazon acquiring offline businesses like Whole Foods because they want a more complete picture of people's behavior. So what do we do offline after we log off of the internet? We go and get our hair cut. We go and buy food. We go and drink our beer. All of this data, where we go, what we buy, is very precious. But the issue is this. The consumers who create this offline transaction data don't own it. It's like the large companies, it's the credit cards, it's the Googles now that are now owning this data and monetizing it without the understanding or participation of the end consumers. And so we want to create a new experience for end consumers. We want our millions of users here in Korea to be able to own their transaction data through a wallet and have the option of submitting this data onto the blockchain in an anonymous encrypted way. And every time that their data is accessed by advertisers or merchants, they can receive tokens as a reward. The way I kind of explain it is, imagine you're on Facebook and you see a sponsored post or an advertisement, or on Instagram, you see the same thing. And Mark Zuckerberg gives you Facebook shares every time. Your attitude towards advertising will change. You will be considered more as a partner than a passive recipient of advertising. And we want to see this for the offline world, where the data is even more precious.
Absolutely, absolutely. So are you catering to both online and offline data?
We want to do both, but we really, if this last 6 years of doing a business has taught me anything, it's you have to focus on what you're good at. And we want to focus on where we have our strengths, which is offline. We believe that offline is also in the long run a larger opportunity. 90% of money that we spend, or retail spend, is still offline. Despite online growing very, very rapidly, still it's 9 times larger, the offline market. And we want to focus on offline also because there's a need for technology. Online businesses have a lot of tools, but offline merchants don't have as many resources and tools to help with their customers.
But isn't offline business going down, or you don't see that in Korea and Southeast Asia?
I think that it's definitely shifting from offline to online. But in the end, we believe that, you know, even despite that, we're offline animals. You know, we live offline. We still have to get our hair cut offline. We meet our friends offline. We drink our coffee offline. There's just, it's not going anywhere. And the reason why we see Amazon buying Whole Foods and moving offline is because still that's where a vast majority of our money is being spent.
Awesome. Okay, I understand your thesis. Now, what kinds of companies? I understand that you have a captive audience in your company, Spoca, and but beyond that, what kind? Give me examples of companies that will be interested in using Carry as a platform or a protocol.
Absolutely. So we have a partner program for various types of businesses to build on Carry protocol. And I can get into just a few of those, but the first is the merchant facing companies like Spoca, people with a captive audience, especially merchants, which are notoriously hard to gather and onboard. It took us 6 years, but there are also a lot of great companies across the world who have merchant customers already who are looking for a good solution. In our case, we have tablets installed in 10,000 merchants, iPads and Android tablets, which can immediately become crypto payment terminals. So we really like any companies with tablets installed, which can be like a POS companies. And when I say POS, I don't mean proof of stake. I mean like point of sale. you know, we love those types of companies. Also, another opportunity is for advertising businesses. We're going to be aggregating a lot of really rich transaction data that can be used to segment and target users. We envision merchants becoming the first advertising customers on the platform. For example, if you're a restaurant, I can imagine a smart contract that targets people who just recently had lunch. And you can target them with coffee coupons offers around coffee. But in the long run, we see third-party advertisers who want to target women who are working as professionals or who want to target people who prefer wine over beer, who want to target like people who are students versus professionals. We see advertising agencies and networks to be also potential partners building on top of Carry Protocol. And also we see exchanges, people who have crypto to fiat as potential partners as well, because our network will enable crypto payments as well as credit card payments. So every time like people pay with Carry or with Bitcoin or with Ethereum, we're payment agnostic, by the way. We see a role for exchanges and liquidity providers because merchants, some of them would want to receive crypto, but a lot of them will want that to be turned into fiat real time. And because they have to pay their workers in fiat, they have to pay for their ingredients in fiat. So we see a back-end partners helping with that.
Yeah. And so how does this whole thing tie into Carry? So your whole idea is that there will be several companies like Spoca and that are going to be on the Carry protocol with different needs. Some of them are interested in loyalty. Some of them are probably interested in currencies, fiat, crypto to fiat, or multi-currency formats. And some others are interested in getting aggregated data of consumers. And then your consumers are able to own their data and monetize it perhaps by exposing it. And, you know, they're giving the data by retaining anonymity and monetization so you're able to So together make this entire ecosystem work. So I'm imagining that Spoca-like partners will actually buy your carry token in order to participate and pay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea?
That's right. So the tokens, so a large portion of our tokens are allocated for exactly these partners. And that's why Spoca is actually a very key part to this whole thing working, is because just like any product, if you're a company and you're looking at all these protocols, you want to make sure that there's a good case study before you sacrifice your hard-earned business and try this protocol out. And so we think that Spoca is positioned to become a great case study to show that carry protocol works. And also we think that Korea is a great starting point. We think that it's a great testbed for anything related to crypto because, I mean, you have grandmas buying XRP and talking at coffee shops about cryptocurrency. It's something that's become mainstream here in Korea. And, people have said about 30% of white-collar workers here have at some point traded cryptocurrency. And we think that Korea is also very early adopters of technology. And so we want to make that case study with Spoca here in Korea, but then use this to encourage other people in other geographies to join the carry protocol. And we would actually provide tokens for the most early participants, companies participating on the carry protocol.
Fantastic. And so are you going the ICO route? Are you planning to run this as an ICO?
Yes, definitely. What we want to do is a little different than typical ICO. We really are utility token. And so we want to have merchants and potential customers purchase these tokens with a bonus. And so instead of just completely opening it up to the general public, we want to make it so that people who we envision actually using this token can purchase these tokens ahead of time. That said, currently we are doing private placements for strategic investors, people we think that can help us and guide us with our project.
Who do you consider as a strategic investor? Give me an example, not names, but give me an example of the profile.
Sure. So where we have our strength is our industry expertise. We just know this space very, very well. Yeah. But what we need to actually catch up on is the actual blockchain technology aspect. And so anyone who can help us with our tokens, with the actual development, is considered a strategic partner. Also, any major entity with merchants, with a captive audience, as you said, would also be considered one. And also just any company that just has the same vision as us of democratizing data would be a potential investor and partner for us as well.
Excellent. And what is your timeline and how much are you raising?
So our timeline is we want to start raise the money and start accelerating this project second half of this year. And so we want to conduct the ICO, if possible, in the first half of the year, finish it within the first half of the year. And we're raising 65,000 ETH. That's our hard cap. And our soft cap is 25,000 ETH.
And what is that in dollars approximately today?
It's about $25 million.
Okay. and the timeline? Second half, are you talking about all the way through December?
So the actual ICO will probably be finished in July. We'll probably conduct a public sale in July of this year.
Got it. Well, all the best, and that's very exciting. So, and what are the risks? You know, if somebody is considering, I'm assuming that, you know, because of the nature of your business, you do want to onboard a lot of not only strategic investors, but also a lot of retail investors.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yes.
Community building activity. You need a big community for making this happen.
Right.
So it's 50-50. I'm guessing you want to raise half the money from the big ones and half the money from the community. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Because a huge part is not just the merchants, but the actual end users, the consumers who will be using the wallet APIs or downloading the wallets that protect their privacy and allow them to be monetizing their data. So you're right. We wanted to be around 50-50, a good balance between institutions and retail investors.
Which makes sense. Okay, I got it. So, and so I'm imagining that as you bring these people on board, for the retail investors especially, the story has to be told. And so you're probably building up your Telegram and your Slack and all of these communities as we speak, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
Awareness, yeah.
That's correct. We're just starting our community building efforts. We just started a Telegram room and haven't really done any advertising, but just people are organically coming in.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it has to do with the fact that our angel investor, our original backer is called Hashed. And they are the largest crypto fund in Korea. And they actually accelerate projects. And one of them is actually Icon, who was...
Min Kim was a guest speaker on our episode on the day he raised. He finished... He raised $42 million in 8 hours, and we were supposed to be talking to him just like we are talking to you, saying, okay, how is the, when is the sale coming up? And he says it's over.
Yeah. I think I caught that podcast. Yeah.
Last year. Yeah. And Hashed, or how do you spell Hashed, the crypto fund?
Yeah, it's spelled H-A-S-H-E-D.
Oh, just as it sounds. Okay.
Just as it sounds.
The largest crypto fund in Korea. Yeah, I have the highest respect because many of the crypto coming out of ICOs and blockchains related companies coming out of Korea have been absolutely phenomenal. Min Kim himself has been an extraordinary person just to get to know. So very exciting. So you are saying that Hashed has organically started growing your community. How big is your, I know you just recently opened Telegram, but how big is it already?
Yeah, I mean, we opened our doors like literally early this week, and we have about 300 or so people.
Wow. Without anything, without telling anybody anything.
Oh, without anything. Like we haven't invested into any like marketing. We just wanted to just open it up. Through opportunities like this, share our story. Yeah.
Well, I think it'll explode because you already have kind of indirect or direct access to 15 million people through Stoka. So I'm imagining that this will explode in the near future for you. All right. What are the risks? Just if you objectively look at your own business, if somebody's looking at a long-term investment and a good return on their investment with carry, what do you see as as one of the people leading this organization? What do you see as the main set of risks that you guys are able to see?
Right. So just the first thing to say regarding that is the offline space is just a notoriously hard space to penetrate. Merchants are some of the most busy people in the world, and they sitting down to learn a new technology is a big challenge for merchants. We introduced a new technology, loyalty technology, to them over the last 6 years, and personal experience can say like it's just very challenging. And so, unlike online, where you see the growth curves like this, with something offline, it's maybe more linear. But at the same time, once people adopt it, they don't switch. it's just something that's ingrained in their operations. Whereas with online, you switch between providers very quickly. So I think if you're looking for something like immediate, like, you know, pop, you know, then I think maybe this is not the right space for you. But at the same time, the impact is very large. It'll take a little bit more time relative to other projects, but you're talking about $25 trillion in spending. It's, if you think about it, it's actually the largest opportunity for blockchain to disrupt. It's just where we spend most of our lives, most of our money. And I think the opportunity is just too large. And so as large as it is, it's also that hard to penetrate.
Amazing. Very exciting. Wow. I didn't know that was the size of the offline economy. So, and what are you planning to raise the money for? Is it for technology development? Is it marketing? Is it adding more countries, expanding? So what is the, that's a big amount of money you're planning to raise. So that's why I'm asking, what are you planning to raise the money for?
Absolutely. So those things that you mentioned, so the typical spend for an ICO will be around the R&D and also the business development and then just the general operations and marketing. But what makes us different is that we have a hardware component. So the tablets that we have installed already, with one software update, we can actually turn them all into, since they all have cameras, QR payment terminals that work with crypto payments, enable crypto payments offline. But for all the additional merchants that we want to onboard, we want to make it as easy and as smooth as possible for them to decide to join the carry network. And so we want to help provide the tablets, subsidize the tablet purchases, which is a huge hurdle for a lot of merchants because then they have to go out and buy the tablets themselves otherwise. And so the tablet component is very important. If we order in bulk, the price per tablet will decrease significantly. We're looking at same performance as an iPad, but around 100 or a little bit under $100 per tablet. And so a large portion of the funds will be also just for the purchase of tablet hardware devices.
Got it. So I understand how you're building this out. And do you see the biggest market in Asia for this, or do you see Europe and America being potential markets for you to expand into in future?
Yeah, just as an American person, like you just cannot ignore the size of the US market, especially. And also, we think that the US market is, relative to other markets, early to technology, open to technology. But that said, I've lived the last 6 years in Asia, and I have to tell you, there's an energy on this continent around technology, and especially blockchain technology. So we see Asia as a larger opportunity, just in terms of sheer number of people, and also in terms of just what we're seeing in terms of adoption of new technology. I think that Asia going forward will actually be a trendsetter for technologies, even though it's been the other way around. You know, as you know, because you've been in technology for a long time, it starts in the US and it flows, across the Pacific Ocean, across the Atlantic Ocean to all the other countries. But with blockchain, we just see this a new disruption as well. Like, we see countries like Korea with very strong dev communities, with their very, very open-minded citizens, like taking on blockchain earlier than any other places. And so we see Asia as our immediate opportunity. We want to focus on Asia. That's what the market that we know. We have partners that we can potentially reach out to very easily in Asia. So Asia, we think, is like the primary market for us.
For the first time, I see the technology landscape being flattened because of blockchain. The world has become, I know we were saying physically, the world has become flat and, you know, there is no concept of time and distance because of internet. I understand that, but with the with the blockchain, even the technology innovation landscape, in my opinion, will get flattened. And that's exactly what you're saying, is you can already feel the buzz and the excitement. I hear the same thing when I'm talking to people in Singapore. I hear the same thing when I'm talking to people in India. So I have never seen this kind of it's a trendsetter. You're right. It's a technology innovation trendsetter like I've never seen before. And
absolutely.
It's very exciting. So, okay, get it. So with all of these going on, and with the money being raised, the question I have to ask you is around regulations, because it's one thing to onboard retail users, but when you're talking to US, right? I mean, with the way it's going, we can call it a utility, but they don't care. As far as is concerned, everything seems to be a security token, and they're referring back to Reg A Plus and other methods that are already been rolled out a couple of years back, and they're simply telling people to use that to democratize investments. So is your ICO going to be restricted, or is it going to be open to people in the US? How is it going to be?
Yeah, so definitely the regulations is a huge concern for many projects, not just ourselves. We are restricting participation in countries where it's explicitly banned, or also where it's explicitly kind of explicitly mediated. And we think that the US is also one in those markets. That said, we are going to conduct a private placement for accredited investors in the United States.
Okay, I get it. So that's how you're planning to get the participation. But later on, when you're going to grow, which geographies, if let's take a five-year window, next 5 years, which are the primary countries you plan to be big in?
We actually, in 5 years, believe we can be global. Our product will be operational next year. And so we do see ourselves being used in across the world. But we do think that, just given our track record here in Asia, we're not just in Korea, by the way, we have presence in Japan as well, and have a partnership with Line, actually. I'm speaking about Spoca. Line is a partner of ours.
Very tightly integrated, from what I understand. Yeah.
But definitely across Asia, we believe that will be maybe our base, in the beginning, maybe in the first 2 years, but then we do see ourselves across the world within 5 years.
Are there other questions or other points you wanted to communicate to our audience? Maybe questions I've neglected to ask you, important points that you need to communicate to the audience?
Yeah, I think to the audience, especially the general audience, like, the underlying technology is not as important as the experience that they receive. And so I think, like, me being able to kind of explain what it'll look like to the typical everyday person will be helpful, actually. If you look at our white paper, it's just like all the other standard white papers. It goes into the technical details and things like that. But we actually emphasize case studies. Like, what is the typical kind of use case look like? And I think that explaining that's very important. And if I talk about it now, it's like this. Like, imagine you go into a shop, your favorite kind of restaurant, and you pay for your food, you pay for your sandwich, but then it says that you actually can receive branded tokens from that shop. It can be a Nike token. It can be like a Bill's sandwich token. We allow people to create programmable tokens on our platform, merchants, as long as they stake that our main token, which is the CRE token. So as a customer, you receive these tokens, but also because you just did a transaction, you receive that transaction data from that sandwich shop. And let's just say you just keep spending money offline and you accumulate this data. Eventually you'll have an option of submitting this data. And when you submit it, you receive the carry main token for your submission. That's the first time you receive the carry token. But then later on, based on your behavior, based on kind of who you are, when advertisers access that data on an anonymous basis, you will receive carry tokens as well every time that you receive a offer. So imagine it's like you receive a flyer with money attached to it. So every time you receive a offer from a third-party advertiser or another merchant, you will receive carry tokens as well. So in your wallet, it's like a wallet that earns you money in a sense, and you accumulate these carry tokens, and it's up to you as a consumer. You own your data, and you own these carry tokens. You can either exchange it on an exchange for money or another token, or you can actually spend that token offline at any of the participating carry merchants.
So then why do you say staking the carry coin? Because I thought it'll be really exchanging to their branded tokens, because these branded tokens are being distributed as tokens of value as an advertisement, pretty much, to bring new customers in, and they're going to redeem those tokens for whatever money, and therefore that amount of money has to be invested by the merchant. And will that get subtracted out of my staked amount? How does it work? How am I paying for it as a merchant?
It's very similar to EOS. So once you kind of stake a certain amount of CRE, you're able to create a certain amount of branded tokens that you can distribute to your customers. And a lot of like technology goes into these branded tokens. They're very smart. So many SMBs or long tail merchants have various needs. And one example is expiration. So these branded tokens aren't going to be exchangeable on the free market. They're simply just for that brand or that network of merchants or that neighborhood. So you can program in, you can only use it at my shop, or you can only use it at Nike or my brand. Or you can build an expiration, which a lot of people want. So you have to be able to spend that. You have to spend that money or spend that token within 3 months or 1 year. Like, there are a lot of smart functionalities that merchants are willing to actually invest in. And we expect them to invest it in the form of holding carry tokens.
And that's all they're doing. They're just holding the tokens.
That's right.
They're not paying anything special.
No, to access the functionality, all they need to do is be holders of the token and become members of.
Okay, but now to issue the branded tokens, do they have to buy the branded tokens?
They don't need to buy the branded tokens. If they had to buy the branded tokens, I don't think it would work, because small businesses don't have like the bandwidth and the budget to facilitate that. But the thing is that these branded tokens aren't exchangeable on the free market. They won't be able to do that. So it's okay for them not to be backed.
It's purely a mechanism to bring in new customers into their store.
That's right. To encourage loyalty. Correct.
Okay. But how do you make money out of that piece?
Right. So the way that we envision partner companies making money is through participation in the smart advertisement. So from an advertiser's perspective, what you get is a rich data set that you can really focus on. You can actually directly target. Right now, you have to go through companies like Facebook, like Google, to reach the people that you want to reach. But with our service, it's actually democratized. It's trustless. Merchants or advertisers can reach beer drinkers or people who live and work in certain neighborhoods directly into their wallets. And so the end price of advertising will go down for advertisers, but that money will actually, that would have gone to Facebook, will be spread across the participants in carry, especially the end consumer who will receive most of it. But participating partner companies like Spoca or like many other companies will be able to create a new revenue stream off of this.
Wow. Okay. I think I get it. And what is the technology on which all of this is being built?
Right. So that's a huge, it's something that we thought about for a long time because offline demands high performance from a base protocol. And we're not going to create our own base protocol. You know, that's not our expertise. We want to build on a great base protocol and be the bridge to the dApps, like the ones I mentioned before, to the wallet applications. So what does offline require? You can't have cheap, fast, and decentralized all at the same time. You can't have everything, right? So we looked at Ethereum, but we don't think Ethereum is the right base protocol for this, because in offline, when you're paying at the counter, you can't wait 5 minutes for the transaction to go through. And also the prices vary so much. It can go up to $10 for each transaction. If you're paying for a $2 coffee, you don't want to spend $10 on the transaction fee. And so Ethereum is something that we kind of went past, and we're looking at other base protocols, including Icon, including EOS, including, you know, we're looking at Definity as well and many others. But as long as it can provide cheap transactions and fast transactions, and also a high TPS, currently we are a part of 500,000 transactions. I'm talking about Spoca, 500,000 transactions a day.
Wow. Okay.
And we track $2 billion worth of transactions a year. So we need high performance out of our base protocol. And we can't divulge like which one we're going to be doing now, but we are very close to a selection for the base protocol.
Well, wonderful. All the best. And can you give a link or something that the people that are, I mean, having come this far into the audio, I'm sure they're very excited about what you're talking about, and they want to probably take the action step next. What would you recommend they do?
Absolutely. What we want is for more people to hear our story and keep getting updates on our development, our partnerships, and also the token generation as well. So we want them to join our Telegram community, and it's called Carry Protocol. If you type that into Telegram, so CARRY Protocol, PROTOCOL. I think I spelled that right.
Yeah.
If you also kind of go through the link that we'll be providing, we'd be happy to have you join us, and we can share. You can ask questions directly to me and any of my teammates, and we're very good at responding very quickly. So we welcome you to join our Telegram channel.
Grant, thank you very much, and listeners, we thank you for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed making it. And if you like this episode, please rate us 5 stars on both iTunes as well as Google Play. And with that, we wish you all the best with your ICO grant.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a good conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.